they take care of that because she's so well organized and never forgets anything. So real nice to be married to her. I wouldn't have kids if I didn't have her, that's for sure. For more than one reason. What I want to talk to you about this morning was when the children of Egypt, children of Israel packed up to leave Egypt. They were leaving sort of quickly, it says. They left quickly. But some of, they did have some warning that they were going to be leaving. And so I was just thinking about how they packed for the trip. And I thought, well, this morning we could just sort of take a little quiz. You can raise your hands or something. Can you think of anything that they took with them when they left Egypt? What kinds of things? Yeah. Okay. They plundered the Egyptians. That was one of the things they were supposed to do. They'd been working for them for 400 years. It's time to be paid. We're leaving. And he says, go and plunder the Egyptians. That's what Moses told him to do. God told Moses to tell him, go plunder the Egyptians. Get a bunch of stuff. And so they went and they plundered them. I don't think money is mentioned, but gold and silver and a lot of jewelry. Yeah. What else? They took their children. A big crowd of people. They didn't even count the children. They said there were 600 men, not counting the children. They didn't even count them. That's one thing we always do when we travel. We count the children. We learned that when I was a kid, that you had to count the children. Yeah. Took Joseph's bones. Joseph had told them, when you leave Egypt, take my bones with you. He didn't want to stay there, and they embalmed him, and they took Joseph's bones with him when they left Egypt. Can you think of other things that they took with them? Yeah. Flocks and herds. Great multitudes of flocks and herds. They had great big flocks. They were the shepherds of Egypt. The Egyptians didn't like anything to do with flocks and herds. What kinds of animals did they take with them in particular? What were their flocks and herds of? Yeah. They had sheep. That was one of the things. There's lots of stories about sheep in the wilderness there. They sacrificed sheep many times. What are the kind of animals that they have with them? Huh? Goats. Sheep and goats. Those were two. Yeah. They took staves. That's right. Several times it said every man got their staff and their censer. There were times, there were more than just Moses. Everybody had a staff with them. He says, take your staff in your hand and shoes on your feet, which they took also. What other animals can you think of? Back on animals. Cattle. Yeah, it mentions cattle. It mentions oxen. The other stories I can think of, they talk about having Moses one time says, did I ever even take as much as a donkey from any of you? So I guess they had donkeys with them. I can't think of any stories about donkeys, but Moses mentioned it. Don't know anything about camels or cats and dogs in the wilderness that I can think of. I tried to think of everything I could, made a list. So that was what they had. What about clothes? They had staves, they had shoes on their feet, they had extra clothes that says wrap. Well, one of the things it says your dough, you're supposed to take the bread before it got leavened, and it says take your kneading bowls and wrap it in clothing and carry it on your shoulder. So they had extra clothes and bundles they carried on their shoulders. Full stomachs, they just eaten all night with the Passover. Everybody's supposed to eat all they could. And if you had more food, you're supposed to invite your neighbors over. Yeah, they left full of food. Anything else you can think of? Very good. They had lots of weapons with them. In particular, can you think of any particular kinds they mentioned? Kids, swords. There's two stories that talk about using swords. One of them was with the Levites at the golden calf story. They took out their swords, and then when they entered in, they fought the Amalekites, they had swords. And then also when they entered the land, it says they gird on themselves all their weapons. So they had weapons that they took with them, had them for all 40 years. at spears. It talks about spears. I think they had bows and arrows. There was a time where it talks about any animal that touches the mountain. You weren't even supposed to touch it. You were either supposed to stone it or shoot it through. And I assume that's talking about bows and arrows, even though it doesn't specifically say it. I can't imagine how else you'd shoot an animal through without touching it. So they had weapons with them. Anything else you can think of? Yeah. They had tents. A lot of them lived in tents. Most of them lived in tents. There's lots of stories about Moses' tents and the different people coming to the tents and stories about tents. Anything else you can think of they took with them? Took the human nature. That was expressed in the fact, probably their sinful nature. They took some idols with them. Stephen talked about that, and so did Amos talked about when they were in the wilderness, they had these false gods with them that they brought with them out of Egypt. They also had the human nature of grumbling and complaining, selfishness, wanting to get ahead. They had a lot of that too. Any other physical thing? Yeah. They had jars because they put the manna in a jar. There were different kinds of cooking utensils mentioned in the wilderness stories. Talk about baking and boiling manna, so they had something they could boil in. They had jars, they had basins. Anything else you can think of that they took with them? Okay, no, that was just that they took gold and silver, but there was a lot more they took, because when it got time to build the tabernacle, they took up a collection. And it made a list. Moses made a list of the kinds of things that he would need. He says, if anybody's got any gold or silver or bronze, blue, purple, scarlet material, fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, porpoise skins, acacia wood, oil, spices, onyx stones, setting stones, they wanted those given to build the tabernacle. And so they had a lot of that kind of thing with them. They probably got it all when they plundered the Egyptians. They had a lot of valuable cloth and anything else you can think of. Yeah. Okay, which ones in particular? Okay, they made trumpets. They got instructions on how to make trumpets while they were there. But when they crossed the Red Sea, it says that Miriam led that song with timbrels. So they had tambourines of some kind. They used a ram's horn to signal people. The trumpets, I think, maybe came later. We don't know for sure because they were told to make those in the wilderness, silver trumpets. They had a lot of jewelry with them. When they built the golden calf, it says every man took an earring, a gold earring, and gave it to Aaron, and he used out of just the million earrings, or 600,000 earrings, he made the golden calf. And then it also says after that time, from then on, nobody wore any ornaments from then on. So that always seems to me real interesting that when they plundered the Egyptians and they got all this jewelry, and they got a lot of, they probably were wearing it. The easiest way to carry a hat is on your head, and I assume the easiest way to carry a necklace is around your neck. And they were probably wearing it. And they got out into the wilderness, and they've been running and been about a month, and they probably were getting sort of tired of carrying it, and Moses said, anybody got any jewelry or anything valuable you'd like to donate to the tabernacle? And everybody says, well, yeah. This is heavy. Gold's heavy. And let me get rid of this. And it says they were giving so fast that pretty soon they said, we got more than we need. You can't give anymore. And everybody says, oh, man, I was too late. Now I got to carry it myself. Could have had those Levites carrying all this stuff, but now I got to carry it for 40 years. They didn't know yet it was going to be 40 years, but they had a lot of worthless stuff when you think about it. When you go out into the wilderness, especially if you're going to be there for 40 years, jewelry and gold is probably not hardly worth carrying along. I was thinking what I would pack if I was going out in the wilderness. They didn't know it was 40 years. They didn't know how long it would be. They talked to Pharaoh about a few days to offer sacrifice, but I think they all knew it was going to be for permanent. And so they left. And I was thinking, what would I take if I was going to be going out into the desert? And I thought, well, one of the things I would take would be water. But if I was going to be going out in the desert for 40 years, I don't think I'd bother. because what good? I'm not going to take that much, and if I couldn't find water there, then it was going to be too bad anyway. Yeah, you had something there? Wood? They sure did. They had wood. That's an interesting one too, Eric, because they had a bunch of big planks that they used to build the tabernacle with, and poles, and wonder, you know, where in the world, you know, if I was going to be packing, leaving here in the middle of the night to go out into the wilderness, you might take some firewood if you knew you were going to be going to do a sacrifice or something, but I don't think planks and poles would be on my checkoff. It might be on Mary's, though, but it wouldn't be on my list. So I was thinking about that, where they got the planks and the poles. And my solution, and even though I don't really have any good verses on this, is that they probably had wagons. There's a story where they, in Numbers, got it written down someplace here, I don't remember where it was, where number 7, where the children of Israel all got together and brought sacrifices and brought offerings to the Levites and to the priests. And one of the things they brought was carts, one cart for each two tribes. So at that, there was one story where they had carts, and I wouldn't be surprised if when they left Egypt, they, a lot of them were pretty well prepared and took wagons, maybe covered wagons. They used them when they moved to Egypt the first time, when Joseph sent up to have Jacob brought down. It says he sent wagons to bring him down to Egypt the first time. So they immigrated down the first time in wagons. So possibly when they left, they also took wagons. And if they had wagons, they would have had poles and they would have had planks. And they could have dismantled some of their wagons. So they had oxen with them. And when you think of oxen, when I think of oxen, I usually think of pulling wagons with them. But we also know that when they first left Egypt, wandered for about a month with very little food, and I've been into the desert there, and it's very not much for cattle and stuff to eat. They were dying off pretty fast, and that's one of the things they complained to Moses about. You brought us out here, and all our animals and even our children are dying because we don't have food and water. So they, one of the things that happened was these animals started dying off, and I think oxen probably would have died off pretty quick, and then they would have been stuck with these wagons. And Moses said, "I need boards," and they said, "We got boards," and they gave Moses the wagons and the poles, and I'm just guessing on that, but they did have those boards, and I think that's probably that's my opinion where they got it. So I do know they had some carts. So these are some of the things they took with them. I'm just going to look down my list here and see if we got. They took unleavened bread. Yeah, I mentioned that. Put on their shoulders. Veils are mentioned, shoes and staffs and scepters. Kate, I was thinking then, what kinds of things should they have taken with them? What kind of stuff did they miss? Another thing I was thinking about, what would I have took if I was going and I wasn't sure how long I would be going for? out in the desert, they could have. There are two problems that I can think of they had at one time besides food and water, which were fairly frequent, but they had a problem once with a fire broke out in the camp, and they said they prayed about it, and the fire went out. So I was thinking they could have taken fire extinguishers, something I always had on my bus, but I never used it, and I don't think they probably took fire extinguishers with them out into the desert, nor did they put it out. It doesn't say with sand, so they prayed about it, and it went out. Another time, thing that maybe in the desert they might have wanted was some anti-snake venom, but it ended up they didn't need that either because God provided for that when they were all bit by the snakes. He put the bronze serpent on the pole and said, "Anyone look at this, they will be healed," and they were. So they went out with a lot of different kinds of things, and it would have been hard. I don't know how well prepared they were. Probably some of them were in different degrees. There are probably some people who had a lot of faith in Moses, that Moses was going to deliver them, and they might have had their wagon built and packed and started stowing things in their wagon when Moses first got back before the plagues even started. Other people might have been a spur of the moment, last minute thing, "Let's go. Yeah, I'll go too." And they left with him. Because people are different, there's probably all different kinds of people as far as preparation to leave Egypt. And they took a lot of different things with them. When they got there, they realized a lot of stuff they had didn't do them any good. They didn't have any use for it. They didn't have a use for the gold and the silver, and they really didn't have much use for their livestock. I think from things that you read in there, that most of their livestock, it says they left with great herds, but because of it being desert, because there was very little water, very little stuff for animals to eat, I think probably most of their livestock died off fairly quickly. That was one of the things they complained about. They said, Moses, now why'd you bring us out here in the desert where there's not anything and allowing all our livestock to die? Well, they really didn't need it. You know, what were they needing their sheep for? They didn't even do Passovers in the wilderness. They didn't do very many sacrifices in the wilderness. Sheep was just something that they took along that wouldn't have been much use for them unless they wanted to eat them. But they didn't need to eat them. God provided all the food they needed. And that's the reason I think most of the livestock died off, is another time where God is speaking. Moses, he says, I'm going to give you enough meat that everybody can eat meat, not just for 10 days, not for 20 days, but for a whole month. You're going to have enough meat that everybody's going to be sick of it. It'll come out your nostrils. You're going to hate it. You're going to have so much meat. So they were grumbling about not having any meat. Well, if they didn't have any meat, what are they doing with their big flocks and herds? You know, if they had them, they could have been eating meat, but they didn't seem to be eating meat. And then Moses said, well, where can I get meat? I mean, if I was a shepherd and I'm sitting here looking at these great flocks here, think, and he says, if we slaughtered flocks and herds, there wouldn't be enough meat to feed everybody for a month. Well, I think a family can live about a month on a sheep, so they didn't probably even have that much flocks and herds to even have one per family for a month to last a month. He said, if I got all the fish out of the sea, that wouldn't be enough meat to feed these people for a month. So they didn't have much meat, and so I think they probably lost their sheep right away. And they complained about it. And yet I was thinking, in hindsight, the things they complained about were really sort of silly. And I think we're probably a lot the same way. When God is working in our lives and He's doing things in our lives, preparing us for the future, we complain and say, oh, why me, God? Oh, God, why do you kill off my sheep? Well, you aren't going to need them for 40 years. Just one more thing to mess with that you got to take care of. He said, I'll take, you don't need this. And He took it away from them and they complained about it. But I think we do the same kinds of things when we are going through trials. Instead of saying, oh, like James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, we say, oh, why me? You know, why did this happen? You know, this is my only whatever it was and now it's gone. Or this is my best whatever. God knows you don't need things. You don't need that. He's preparing you for something. Why did I go through this trial? Because you're being prepared for something later. You're being prepared. But I think that's a lesson we can learn from these Israelites, is that the things that God is taking away from them were things they didn't need. He was actually making their life better. He was preparing them for the 40 years where they didn't have food for the animals, and it would have been a lot of work to get water for them and so on. He said, well, we'll just take them away. And they put them out for a month with no food and water until they got rid of all their livestock. And then from then on, he said, now I'll feed you. I'll feed you with manna. I'll feed you with water from the rock. And he took care of everything they needed. So I think that's one lesson, is that what we consider deprivation, God considers pruning. Another lesson I think we can learn from this is that when God calls us, God will provide for us. And I was thinking about this, because this is sort of a type in the New Testament of getting saved, leaving Egypt. And all these people got saved, and some people had preparation. I think some people had loaded wagons. I imagine if you followed the million Israelites across the desert, it would probably look sort of like a junkyard. I mean, when the travelers came west on the Oregon Trail and the Santa Fe Trail, and they got to the mountains, they threw out the piano grandma's dresser and all these other things, these family heirlooms, because we can't haul these over the mountains. And there's piles and piles of junk piled out there on the prairie, at the edge of the prairie, because people couldn't take them into the mountains. They realized, we've got to carry all this over the Rockies. We can't take all this stuff with us. And I imagine the Israelites were the same way. They were probably leaving stuff. What did we bring umbrella for? You know, throw it. As you travel, you realize you have more stuff than you need. But the other thing I was noticing is, what would they have missed? You know, if you would have walked out of Egypt with these Israelites, just on foot, they took extra strangers. That was another thing they took with them, was outsiders. It wasn't just Israelites with them. There was a great multitude of foreigners went with them. And you could have walked out there with them with nothing, and you probably would have been all right for 40 years. They really didn't need food. It was provided every day. They didn't need water. That was provided. You might have wanted a tent, but that would only be for privacy because they didn't rain on them. Don't read about bad weather or anything. You probably could have just slept on the ground. Your clothes would have never wore out. You didn't need extra clothes. Matter of fact, they didn't make a whole lot of clothes. They probably just passed them down. Everybody that left that was over a certain age died. But when they got to the Promised Land, there was almost the same number of people that went into the Promised Land as came out of Egypt, even though it was 40 years later, and everybody had died out. So they didn't need extra clothes. They just traded them around because the same amount of people, same amount of clothes. And says the shoes never wore out, their clothing never wore out in the 40 years. They didn't. I think they probably didn't even realize it at the time. But when they got to the Promised Land, and then all of a sudden things started wearing out, they realized, hey, you know what? This is normal. What we saw was a miracle, but we didn't realize it at the time. But God provided everything they needed. And I think you could have just walked along with them, left Egypt with them, lived with them for 40 years, never needed a thing, never. God completely took care of them. Like I mentioned about the fire, the snake bites, if something happened, you're provided for. God provided everything they needed. And I think that's a lesson that God has for us. As Christians, we can make all different kinds of preparation. Some people are going to get to heaven with lots of rewards, lots of other things up there. Other people are going to get to heaven saved just through fire with almost nothing there. But you all get there. You will all be in heaven. I think these people all left Egypt, some more prepared than others, but it didn't matter. God provided for each. Give us this day our daily bread, and the Lord was faithful. They had everything that they needed for 40 years. They didn't have diseases, it says, while they were in the wilderness. They didn't need to take medicines. So those are some of the two of the lessons I thought was that when God calls, God provides. If God tells you to go somewhere, He's going to do everything He can to provide for it. I think most of us who have been Christians very long can testify to that God is very faithful and God does what He provides for us if He asks us to do something. What we consider deprivation, God calls pruning. He calls it preparation. We don't need to complain about things that are going on in our lives. We just need to try to look at it, let our eyes be opened. I pray that the eyes of their faith may be open, that they can see, so we can see that this is God working in my life. This is God doing something for me. This is not something bad happening. This is my growth. This is the Lord working in me for my good. Another lesson I was thinking about this is that you really can't plan since you don't know the future. The New Testament teaches us that you know, you can't do anything about tomorrow anyway, so don't worry about it. We can't really even plan for the future because we don't know what the future is going to bring. The children of Israel, when they were leaving, they could have thought, well, what am I going to need if I'm out there? Should I take along a portable blacksmith forge? You know, what kinds of stuff would I put in my wagon, or what kind of stuff would I carry? They didn't know. They didn't really have a clue. They didn't know what they were going to need because they didn't know what was going to be happening. They probably had a little bit of clues, and I think I was thinking about that for us as Christians. If we're preparing for the future, we're making plans for heaven. How do we prepare for heaven? What are the things that we look for, that we're trying to do now to prepare us for later? Some of the things that we know we're going to be doing is ruling. How do you prepare to be a good ruler? Well, there's examples. If you can't control your own family, how will you control the household of God? You practice small. Jesus taught that He's faithful in a little thing, is faithful also in much. And He was unrighteous in a little thing, is unrighteous also in much. And so I think one way we prepare for the future is by being as faithful as we can at doing what God has asked us to do now. That is preparing you for greater rewards later. And Mary complains that I don't read the Bible enough. I tell her, Mary, I quote all the time, but I'll go ahead and read something. If you want to look at the verse, Luke chapter 16. I just quoted that one. Luke 16:10. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. He who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, who will entrust the true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? To me, that's an amazing verse because it's backwards the way we think of it. You know, somebody that wrecks their car and doesn't take it very good wants to come and borrow your car. You say, no, you can't use my car. You don't even take care of your own. Or somebody leaves all their, doesn't have any tools because they leave them out in the rain and they want to come over and borrow yours. You say, no, you can't borrow mine because you left it out in the rain. Well, Jesus says it's the exact opposite. He says, if you don't take care of what somebody else's, how will anybody ever give something to you to take care of? And I was thinking that's really the way it is in our lives and what we do here on earth. God has entrusted us as stewards of other of His stuff. There's nothing we have here. There's nothing we can take with us. There's nothing here that is actually ours. We act like it is and we treat things as ours. But everything that is here is God's. And we are His stewards. If we are faithful with His stuff here, then when we get to heaven, He will give true riches to us. Things that we actually can own. Things that will be ours. If you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous mammon, who will entrust true riches to you? If you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? So I think that is a something we can do is we can learn as preparation for the future is to learn to be good stewards of the things that God has entrusted to us. We can learn to be faithful in our jobs, in our work, and that will prepare us for the future because He's faithful in little things, He's faithful also in much. The only thing really we're taking with us to heaven is our character, our personality, the things that we have developed here on earth, and that is what God is interested in preparing for us. It says if we endure, we will reign with Him. It says that several times in the New Testament. If we endure, we'll reign with Him. If we die, we'll live with Him. If we endure, we'll reign with Him. If you want to be preparing for reigning, the way that you learn to reign is to learn to suffer. You learn to endure. You put up with things. That is how God says to learn to rule, is to learn to endure. To be patient. These virtues that they'll have everlasting good from them if you learn long-suffering and patience. These are the ways that God is teaching you to be a good ruler. But we don't know a whole lot about our future. We know we can't take anything with us except for who we are, our character. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There's nothing else that's worth anything. There's nothing else we can use in heaven that we can take with us except our soul. And our effort needs to be in that. That's what God is concerned with. That's what God is working at in our lives, is our soul preparing us to meet Him. And if you haven't ever gotten right with the Lord, if you're still in your sin, that's the first thing that you have to prepare. When we get to heaven, we're going to see God as the first thing we'll see is God as the judge. And He'll say, what have you done with my son? What have you done in your life? What have you done to take care of the sin in your life? Have you done anything? You're going to get before a holy God, and it says our God is a consuming fire. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And if you are still here and you've never accepted Jesus and the forgiveness of sins that He offers to you, and you're going to meet God as a judge, it's going to be a terrible time, and you're going to go through some severe punishment. You're going to be cast into the lake of fire if you haven't done anything about your sins. But there is something you can do about it, and that's the first step in preparing for the future, is that we can have our sins removed. We can be forgiven of our sins by accepting the salvation that Jesus offers us and the payment He already made for the sin on the cross. And if we accept that, we can have our sins forgiven. Once you've got that taken care of, then I think the next thing you work on is our eternal state. What are we going to do? How can we prepare for our eternity to make us fit recipients for the kingdom of God? What can we do now to prepare? And I think some of the things we mentioned this morning are some of the things that we can be doing. Remember, it's the eternal, it's the soul that matters. It's your character, it's who you are. Your relationship with God is what you're going to take with you to heaven. Your responsibility and your ability to serve. Well, that's what we have time for this morning. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank You for being our Savior. We thank You that You were willing to come to earth and die for us on the cross, that You would take away our sins. We pray this morning, Lord, that if there's anyone here this morning who's never accepted that they would be considering who You are and Your claim on their life. For those of us who have done that, Lord, just pray that You would keep the reality of the future in our minds. Help us to be thinking about the eternal value of the things that we're doing, the things that it's teaching us, that it's developing in us. Help us not to be complainers or be grumblers, but to realize that everything is from you and it's for our good. Help us to be faithful. Help us to desire to love you and to follow you. Deliver us from temptation this week, Lord. Deliver us from evil. We pray this morning for everywhere that your word is going forth, that people will be hearing your word and responding to it. Pray this in our Savior's name. Amen.